Welcome to a very special edition of the Seagull Eagle podcast. The edition where we analyse all of the transfers. Now the transfer window has shut.
Hopefully you've listened to our previous episode, which has gone through all the games and everything that's happened. But we thought it makes sense to spare a little time, as it's the international break, and have a natter about all the different transfers that have happened now the window has finally slammed shut.
Oh, and what a busy week it's been for Palace. It really, really has.
I love the fact the window slams shut. It doesn't like close gently, it slams.
Well, it kind of slams shut and then remains open for about 2 hours or so, doesn't it? And
yeah.
And then it shuts.
Love the old deal sheets.
Yeah.
The last minute worrier from every team, which, I mean, this window was a bit of a crazy window for everyone, I think. And so it finished at, I think, 5 p.m. officially, and then a couple of hours for extending deals on Monday evening. And as we thought, Palace would have to do some business sometime, and they got
there. But we always do, Neil. This is the thing, mate. Yeah, like Brighton are, it's a bit like me and my sister in life.
Hello.
Right?
How's this going?
Well, my sister's organised, structured, you know, buys birthday presents 6 months in advance.
Oh, I see.
All that kind of stuff. I'm just, you know, by pure DNA and whatever it is, just very different to that. And, you know, Brighton are my sister. You're organised, you're structured, you know, you're lovely and all that, but you're just more organised, and that's the way you like to do things. Palace see value in leaving it late, and that is part of the strategy. And I, for the life of me, I wish it wasn't. But also, it does bring that extra level of excitement, because I don't know about you, mate, but from a Brighton fan, I would imagine you'd be sat there watching Sky Sports, maybe Sky Sports News, and thinking, who's leaving the club? As opposed to Palace fans were going, who's leaving, who's staying, who's on loan, and Christ, what's going on? Which is actually quite exciting, which is why I always, you know, obviously this time I was on holiday, but I was still watching it.
Yeah.
And I love that day.
No, I get you. We've had previous years like that, but now it's like, you know, it's a bit different for us. But I might get that on a T-shirt for you, or a bumper sticker. Brighton is my sister. That's quite nice. I like that.
I don't know what my sister would feel about that.
Look, let's get into it. Let's talk about Palace then, because they had the busier time.
Yeah.
Let's talk about confirmed transfers first. Let's go through that.
Yep.
Well, start me off. I mean, we talked on the first one, probably the most exciting one for you lot must be Pino, mustn't it?
Yeah. Good old Jeremy. Yeah. He's, I think he's a superb signing, Neil.
Yeah.
I really, really do. And I think we need to kind of disillusion ourselves from thinking that it's a replacement for Eze, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a replacement for that position. You're never going to replace Eze. And that's not saying that Pino won't be as good or a better player than Eze, because you know that I've spoken about Eze's issues in terms of areas of development and things such as this, which actually, funny enough, Arsenal fans were already talking about after that first game. So I think Pino will be an all-round kind of more fuller team player than Eze was.
Yeah, he's a different player, isn't he? He is a different player.
But I mean, look, he's a 22-year-old. Obviously, he's a winger. He is a full Spanish international, right? He's had 15 appearances and 3 goals.
Yeah.
So this ain't some schoolboy. Like, he's a very good established player who's played for one club pretty much his entire career.
Yeah, I mean, he was, as a sort of 18, 19-year-old, he was what a lot of people call a wonder kid. He was one of those kids that got straight into the first team, got into the Spanish national team very early as well. And everyone was like, wow, this kid could be the next whatever, fill in the gap. He had a little bit of a dip in the last couple of years, which is very, you know, it's very common for young kids to do that. And I think, and then no disrespect, and I think that's how Crystal Palace have managed to get him, because he's had that little bit of a dip. The price has sort of stayed where it is, and now the clubs are not quite sure where he's going to go. For him to be able to then come Palace and come to the Premier League, I think it's a really good buy. It's a really good price as well.
Well, he had I was reading up about it in the last couple of days, and he had a 60-something million pound release clause in his contract, and somehow we've managed to negotiate a 26 million pound deal.
Yeah, good
time. So, you know, as much criticism as the club gets, like, this is the man that Glasner wanted, and we got him for a snip at the price. And we'll talk about it later, but we got an indication of what's to come with him when he came on against Villa. And he looked great.
Yeah.
He looked really good. Direct style pace, the ability to beat all the defenders. And I think it just brings a whole new dimension and a little bit more of a structured dimension potentially than Eze. Really excited. Welcome, Jeremy, to South London.
Number two, who else?
JD Canvo.
JD. Ah, yes, we spoke about him as well, didn't we, last week? Little bit of a whisper last week about him.
Yeah, these were the two that we kind of knew about, but weren't, I mean, nothing was confirmed for Palace, let's be honest, but it could have gone anyway. But yes, we've signed JD, 20.8 million, I believe, from Toulouse. Mm-hmm. 19-year-old centre-back. And very much mooted as not a replacement for Gehi, by the way. But as a 19-year-old, he was very much one of the two that we were planning to bring in. Mm. And this one's for the future. He's highly rated. He's had a big rise to fame very, very quickly. This kid's gone from non-league over in France to Premier League in about 18 months or something. It's insane. We've just signed him on a four-year deal. He's already representing France at under 20 level. He's now, not only did he get his move this week to Palace, the mighty Palace, but he's also got called up for the France under 21 squad this week.
Oh, has he?
As well.
Okay, good week.
So we've been tracking him for quite a while, the club's confirmed. And we saw our opportunity. I mean, that's a decent amount of money to spend on a 19-year-old.
It is, I agree.
But there's clearly something about, and by the look of it and the research I've done, the way that he plays in that kind of back three and the system that we play, he is very much suited to our system and is physical enough, good in the air, and forward passing balls, all the other bits and pieces that we require of our defenders. I actually think he's going to be a great addition. But we've got a little bit like your Greek boys that you've signed. Mm. I think we've just got to give him a bit of time.
I think the good thing about that is as well, you've got the perfect competition to play this player in though, haven't you? With the Conference League, the quality level of that league, it's going to be someone that will fit into there quite easily. They won't have too much pressure on them. So, I mean, yeah, I think that's a good signing as well. I've seen a little bit of him and you're quite right. He does look very promising.
Yeah. And then there's one more, which is one that I didn't see coming.
I don't know anyone did they?
No. This is someone that's been heavily linked with, I think, Everton, Villa, lots of other clubs. Not one real mention for us until a couple of days before transfer deadline. And it's all a bit weird, really. It's come from nowhere. But I think a lot of this is due to the fact that Nketiah is injured at the moment and technically, apart from an under 21 player who's been promoted to pride of place on our website under the strikers section, Mateta is the only fit striker that we have. Yes, we have signed Christianos Uche.
Okay.
And this is a bit of a weird one, Neil, because everyone was reporting on all of the respectable sites on deadline day that it was a signing, well, in pounds, about £15 million.
Right, okay.
Then Palace announce it 6 hours afterwards on their website or whatever, and it says it's a loan deal.
Oh, okay.
Massive level of confusion on this. We've since done a bit of research on it. It looks like a loan to buy.
So it's like a loan with an obligation to buy next summer or something?
Yeah. We've got to buy him this time next year for 15 million quid.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And who is he? He's a 22-year-old Nigerian forward. I think the great thing about this and the reason why Glasner probably wanted him was because he can play across the whole forward line and also in attacking midfield as well, right? Yeah. So I think when we're looking at cover, because this is the thing, as I've said in the last couple of weeks, you look at our bench before these players came in, you're down to your development team immediately. And in terms of cover across for injuries or whatever's happened, perfect. And also perfect for our system. I think he's kind of, he understands that way of playing. It's definitely a Glasner signing. And I, for one, am happy that we've now got an option to bring off the bench.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to change the world for us, but Mateta didn't when he first came in. Let's be honest. So
I think they're all very sensible buys. I think the lad, Jeremy Pino, I think that's the star purchase, obviously, but they've all got promising talent and good business, mate, really. In the end of it, when we were sort of rushing through the last couple of hours, I wasn't expecting to see three signings in the last couple of hours. It was very good.
You know, it's something you say quite regularly, you know, trust the process, trust the club and all. And like whilst I think this whole kind of, without bringing it back up again, this whole CAS, UEFA saga, all the other bits and pieces, I think it's highlighted something that I'm not sure was there in its entirety. But obviously with Friedman going, quite a few changes at the club, I think there wasn't really a named person from the media on the transfers.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Mm. So I think there was a lot of eyes from the outside going, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? But you look at the history of us in any of the windows, we don't get active really. One or two come in early, and then the rest of it is wait, you know, three or four on the last couple of days. And that's how we've always done our business.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, the manager doesn't love the way you always do your business, though.
No.
And that's something maybe we can talk about at some point. But
I don't think we would have got that level of player for that price, though, if we'd have done it early.
Maybe not. No, you might be right there.
There you go.
What about outgoings? You had a few, did you?
Yeah, look, there's lots and lots, but the ones of distinction since we spoke are Odson Edouard.
Yes.
We knew he was going.
Yeah, exactly.
That's been something that's been happening for a while, but we didn't quite know where. He's gone to RC Lens.
Yes, okay, in France, nice.
The annoying thing is he's only gone for £3.7 million.
Blimey.
Pretty sure we bought him for around the 10 to 15 mark from Celtic. He's made 105 appearances for the club, scoring 21 goals, and mostly recognised and known for his debut against Tottenham, where he scored twice in his debut. And actually, he pretty much scored with the first touch of the ball. the fastest debutant goal ever in the Premier League came from him. He worked brilliantly under Roy's system back in the day, but since Oliver Glasner's come in, he's not an Oliver Glasner player. No. And he knows that. Glasner knows that. He just needed a move. So we wish him all the best. Thank you for everything, Edouard. And good luck at Lens. The only other one really is Franco Ume, who's gone to Portsmouth for 500k.
Right. Okay.
So he was Republic of Ireland under 21 international. He joined back in, I think, 2003 from Cork.
Oh, right. Okay.
But he never made a first team appearance. So he was clearly one that we were banking on, but didn't quite work out there. But I think he will do, from what I know about him, I think he'll do really well in Portsmouth.
Okay.
So apart from a lot of kind of youth team ins and outs and loans and things like that, they're kind of the two big ones. So, yeah. And obviously, no Gahey on that list, Neil.
We'll get to that, mate. We will definitely get to that.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about Brighton.
Yeah, Brighton-wise. So the last few days were all about outgoings. So do you know what?
So boring. So boring.
Well, I woke up on deadline day and, you know, you have a little bit of sort of 10% of you thinking, I wonder if we'll do anything, any bit of business. And I think we did try to do one piece of business, which I can talk about. But the main stuff that happened and the main things that surprised the hell out of me, so we got transfers confirmed, was Julio Enciso, which had been rumbling on for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Blue Co, Strasbourg, was confirmed eventually after he initially failed the medical. He'd had a few injuries and we did wonder what was going on with him. He failed the medical. Albion basically then had a chat with them about it and I think they dropped the price. So I think in the end it worked out for around about 9 million quid they sold Enciso for, which actually isn't that bad for someone who probably is a little injury prone. And I think it's still more than we paid for him. So yeah. Abdulasima, the guy that I've been talking about for a while, finally got rid of him. Fabian Herzler heard me and I said, look, play him or get rid of him, make your mind up. He listened. Unfortunately, he didn't play him, but he did sell him on to Lens as well. There you go. Odson Edouard and Abdulasima both going to the same team in France. Undisclosed fee, but we think it was around the 6 million quid mark. So I think we lost a bit of money on him because we never really gave him the opportunity. But
thing is, you've got to think about the wages.
Absolutely.
This is what this is all about, more so than the transfer fees.
Really good point. But the most weirdest thing of the whole day were then the loans that we did on the last day.
Okay.
Three particular loans that I want to call out. The first one, absolutely bizarre. So the whole of pre-season and the first two league games, we have a starter on the pitch, Matt O'Reilly.
Yeah, this is a weird one.
What the hell? So why have we started this guy the last two games, the first two games of the season, put him in a number 10, told him, this is where we want you. He's expected to stay, all this sort of stuff. And then suddenly, last day of the window, he's off to Roberto De Zerbi's Marseille on loan for the season. Like, don't get me wrong, I actually don't want him in the starting 11. I don't think he's got the pace and the energy that's needed. But why did we bother having him for the first two games of the season? I'm presuming it's just because, again, we're trying to get other players up to speed and things.
Yeah, it just felt very... Not, was there not gaps in the squad that you could... There was no one else to... I mean, you know
well,
better than me, but...
I think there were, yeah. I think there were other players that could have played in there. So that's what's confused me. I don't understand why we decided to play O'Reilly, start O'Reilly. I mean, I get maybe putting him on the bench in case, but why did we... Yeah, so strange. Anyway, look, Matt O'Reilly's gone to Marseille suddenly on the last day of, this, of the transfer window for a season-long loan. We haven't sold him or anything, and we'll wait and see what happens next season.
Can I ask, just from a business point of view, though, because you had one of the biggest squads, right?
Yeah.
So surely, on transfer deadline day, you need to kind of... I know you've got money for days, I get that, right? But in terms of the actual wages, you need to kind of balance that book, right? So surely... If you got one day to go, we need to get people off the payroll. Maybe Matt O'Reilly was one that they maybe weren't planning on, but took it because no one else was wanted or something.
I don't think so. I think, well, we can talk about, we've got a transfer review in a second about the whole thing. And let me get to that in a minute. Yeah. I think I'll address it there, because I think when you think about how much actually we did business-wise, I don't think O'Reilly is anything about wages or anything like that. I really don't. I think, especially someone who came in last season and we've suddenly gone, shipped him off. He's not a young kid. He doesn't need developing. He's ready-made. He's mid-20s. He's someone who's played in the Champions League. He's done all of that. It was just a very strange... It's clearly someone who Fabian Hörsler has suddenly decided, you know what, I think I'm going to go in a different direction. I've seen him now for a few games. I've given him the chance. What it screams at to me, because if you think about last season, he didn't get in at the end when he was fit, even though he had an injury at the beginning. When he was fit, he didn't really get much of a look in. Then he moaned in the press a little bit about not being played in his position and all this sort of stuff. I think it screams of a little bit of pressure from above to the manager saying, look, can we at least play him? Can you see what he's like? Can you be comfortable that we don't want him or we're not sure about him, rather than not even playing him at all? He was one of our biggest signings last summer. So he's played him. Last day of the transfer window, boom, off you pop. It's a strange one, but he's only on loan. We'll have to see what happens. The other ones, so the one that was the funniest one for me, Igor Julio. What was going on there? So we woke up to the fact that our left-sided centre-back, who was surplus, he's like our number six or seven in line to be a centre-back for us, was being touted as going on loan to Crystal Bloody Palace. What the hell was that? What was it like from your side seeing a Brighton player possibly going to Palace, i.e. the two clubs comfortable with the idea of a Brighton player going to Palace on loan?
Firstly, he'll never refer to us as Crystal Bloody Palace. What are you playing at?
Sorry, mate.
It's going to kick off. No, do you know what? Probably shouldn't say this on this podcast, but I messaged you, I think, or you messaged me, one or the other, with the screenshot of this whole potential loan happening. And I think I went back and went, is this not proof that Nottingham Forest are now our rivals?
Well, so strange, isn't it?
It's like, I don't know. I think things have maybe moved on a bit. But also, I mean, it's not the first time the clubs have done business. Let's be honest, it's not. It is a really, really weird one. I think it's smacked of desperation. No offence, but I think it's smacked of desperation from Palace. Because we wanted him for squad depth and cover. He thought he was coming in to be the new Mark Gahey. And I think that while he was at his medical, rumours has it that he realised that he wasn't going to be the next Mark Gahey. And him and his agent realised that West Ham were still interested. And therefore, he went off on his merry way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame him. I think he's desperate to try and get game time.
Yeah.
And he's really good. He's just not had an opportunity.
Yeah. Right.
When he did have an opportunity last season, he was fantastic for us. Left-sided, natural, strong, quick, you know, lots of things, lots of positives about him. And I was so strange. And, you know, on Twitter, on X, sorry, everyone was going a bit mental on the Brighton side. You know, what the hell are they doing? How are they sanctioning this? And yeah, you're right. It does show a little bit of a, from a club perspective, it's not an issue. But it felt weird. It felt strange from a fan's perspective. in the end, you're right. He went to West Ham right at the last minute, had a change of heart. And I think going on loan, at least, I think that was probably a sensible decision to go to West Ham from a fan's point of view.
There was rumours that he failed the medical at Palace.
Right.
But then how can you fail a medical at Palace and then pass one at West Ham 2 weeks later?
I think
maybe there was something maybe found in the medical.
He's got a reoccurring issue with his hamstrings a little bit. He's had issues with that and shin splints and those sorts of things. I don't think you'll get 20 games in a row out of him. Mm. But I think as a first reserve centre-back, I think he's fantastic. Look, he's gone anyway. He's on loan for the season. We'll have to wait and see. This, one of the strangest ones for me, and the final one for transfers for the last day of the window, was Facundo Buonanotte. I've been talking about him a few times. He's one of my favourite ever players. And I was expecting him to go maybe top of the Championship, bottom of the Premier League. Leeds were really interested in him for a season-long loan. For us, another season-long loan somewhere in the Premier League or the Championship, basically in the UK, he gets then homegrown status for us. So if we play in Europe next season, we don't count him as a foreigner or anything. It's really good for us. So we were expecting this to happen. And then lo and behold, he goes to Chelsea. Now, he doesn't get sold to Chelsea. He goes on a season loan to Chelsea.
So strange.
This is possibly the weirdest one of the lot that I've ever seen at Brighton, right? One, why Chelsea again? Weird. Two, Chelsea, why do you want Facundo Buonanotte on loan when you've got multi-club ownership? Why don't you just buy him and do what you normally do with our players? Either, you know, ship him off to Strasbourg or somewhere else. So it's a loan. Okay, right, let's get our head around this. Where are you going to play, Facundo? I get Cole Palmer's injured, but that's one player out of the 7 million that they've got on their squad. Where are you going to play? It's one of the strangest things. A few days later, right, to top it all off, they released a video of Buonanotte in the shirt doing the whole welcome to Chelsea sort of thing. Do you know one of the statements that he says? Yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, getting in the side. I've always dreamt about playing Champions League football. 2 days later, he's left out of the Champions League squad.
Yeah, he is.
What is the point of that? What is the whole point of Buonanotte going for us to get him game time? I mean, I don't know. Let's wait and see. They may have some assurances with Chelsea. We've got a very good relationship, let's be honest. But
maybe a too good relationship. Well,
it's so strange, mate. That is the strangest transfer for years.
You know, like no smoke without fire and all that. And if you think something's a bit dodged, then, you know, maybe it is. Mm. I'm not saying there is anything, but it's a bit whiffy, all of that. The amount of money going between your two clubs.
The loan, I don't get.
And then weird things like this going on. It's like, what is going on? I don't know, but I'm glad, mate. Do you know what? This is one thing I did want to talk to you about today, because obviously I listened to that one. I think it was on the radio when I heard about that one. And I was like, that makes no sense to me whatsoever. And I was waiting for you to turn up and go, no, Andy, it's because of this.
No, it's not, mate. Okay. No one knows. Honestly, there is not one Brighton fan that I've looked at go, What? That makes sense. Yeah, that's fine. Weird. No, it's the strangest one.
I did wonder whether they'd end up just shipping him out to one of their other clubs or something. You know, he's been bought by Chelsea to get round FFP or whatever it would be. But
No, I don't know. I mean, look, let's be honest. It's not like he's a stranger to the squad. Half the squad he knows already. So we'll have to wait and see. Look, let's not go on about it. It's done now. So those three big first team players, as such, first squad players, O'Reilly, Buonanotte, and Igor gone, and Sima and Enciso sold. That was the end of the day business for us. Look, just quickly, boring. What I wanted to do.
So boring.
So steady.
Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
What I wanted to do is just talk about the window as a whole, just quickly. General sort of review from your perspective, from a Palace point of view and Brighton point of view. How do you think it's gone? Are you happy with your... Obviously, you know, there's been a lot of issues from a Palace point of view and lots of reasons and understandable reasons as to why things were left so late this time.
Hmm.
Are you happy with your final squad, I suppose, is the question.
Can I answer that in a slightly different way?
Go on.
Because as you said, you take into account everything that's happened, mm-hmm. and all of that has happened due to success, right? So it's good problems that we've had. But also along the way, our main man, Doogie Freeman, who has instigated a lot of this success in the background, right? Finding all these brilliant players from the Championship and all the other bits and pieces, like, he's gone. So this was the first risk window for us, right? It's the first window that we've had without him. We only just appointed that guy that was at Wolves as the chief person in charge of transfers, sporting director, whatever you want to call him. We only appointed him like 10 days ago or something. Mm. So I think this could have gone really badly for us, mate. I really do. And I think judging on the potential of the distraction, the not having anybody in charge, the chaos that we were working under, I think we've actually come out of it all right. I think there's an immediate question that we should all ask ourselves at the end of the transfer window, which is the squad better than it was 12 months ago?
Yeah, fair question.
And I believe, yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I think it is. Ultimately, I think my only concern is, I don't think it's any bigger than it was 12 months ago. I haven't done an actual count up, but if you look at who's left and been released and gone out on loan, and you look at who's come in, I think it's good for the academy because there's a lot of chances going to be got if there's a little more injuries. But I do think that we were hopefully going for a bigger squad. But then again, look, Glasner's actually said it's quality over quantity. And I think he's known for playing the same players week in, week out, trusting them, all the other bits. So we're never going to be a Brighton with, the biggest squad in the world. But the other thing to consider, Neil, on that question is who's gone? The only first team starter that's gone.
Okay, look.
Eze.
Yeah, but there's one thing that happened on the last day that we should talk about. Not Eze. Mm. We know who. Mark Gehi.
Yeah.
What the hell was going on there? That is one of the strangest little moments, I think, in transfers this summer, where he's out of contract next summer. We know the situation. We've been going on about it for weeks on this podcast. Mm. It gets to the last, let's be honest, the last few minutes of the window where they've put a deal sheet in to go to Liverpool. And then,
we were waiting for Steve Parish to come out of the gym, weren't we? It's not even a joke. That's actually true.
But seriously, mate, what kind of situation is that left you in from a relationship point of view with your manager and your chairman? That is bizarre, because Glasner made it very clear for the last few weeks how he didn't want Gehi to leave, or we completely replace him earlier in the window to make sure we've got somebody. You didn't do that. So that must have been a terrible conversation to have with both the player and the manager all the way through the last few hours.
Yes to everything you've said. Yeah. Get it? Absolutely. I think the one thing that we all forget is that this isn't a newspaper story or speculation this is real life, and that there are details that none of us know, right? Mark Gehi hasn't come out yet and spoke to anybody about what's happened. Even though there's various different newspaper articles saying that he has and that he's got an opinion on it and all the other bits and places. Like, example, you read one newspaper, they say Gay's going to down tools. There's another newspaper saying that he's going to threaten to not be captain anymore.
I don't think it's an issue, Andy, about Gehi. I don't think that's the issue. He's a very good professional. You can tell that.
Who knew that he might not be leaving?
Which is fine. But my point is that it got to the last hours, last minutes of the window.
Yep.
He'd had a medical for Liverpool.
Half a medical, I think. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Liverpool and Palace had put a deal sheet in.
We'd put his farewell together, a farewell video.
Everything was ready to go.
Yeah.
And then Palace finally decided to listen to their manager and not pull the plug on him. To pull the plug on him, I should say, and not let him leave. That, from a manager's point of view, surely is more the point I'm trying to make, that only just, right at the last minute, did they listen to him. Surely that's got to have some sort of negative impact on
him. No, do you know what? I think, it's all about, going back to what I said, it's all about the narrative.
Yeah.
And the narrative is, get a story out of it. And if that's the case, then yes, I agree with everything you've said.
Mm.
I think if we look at potentially what the facts might have been, and from what I'm hearing, it was very much, if we can get two central defenders in that the manager's happy with, Gehi can leave.
Yeah.
There was a point on transfer deadline day, which I believe was around the sort of 11 to midday mark, where we thought that that actually might have been the case, right? And I do believe there was potentially another defender that we were looking at the same time as well. Now, when we found out that that wasn't happening, are you telling me that nobody had a conversation with Gehi? Because I genuinely believe that Gehi knew that situation, because the world knew that. I knew that situation. Mm. That if two defenders were coming in, and Mark Gehi's got Sky Sports, right? Yeah. So he ain't sat in a room like everyone's thinking he is, going, I'm moving to Liverpool. He knew that was never going to get sanctioned until a replacement came in. So look, let's look at the facts here. I believe everybody wins in this situation, right?
Everybody wins.
I believe everybody wins.
Okay.
No, bear with me, right? Mark Gehi doesn't move to Liverpool. He retains his starting position as captain for a club that are, let's be honest, and you hate to say it, but we're on the up at the moment, right? We're doing all right.
Yeah.
He's going to play a season in Europe.
Yep.
Ready for the World Cup,
yep.
He will be a starter for England,
yep.
Right? He's going to miss out on an increase in wages, even though we tried to give it to him, for one season, right? In 6 months, he can agree a deal with Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, whoever he wants to,
yep.
Or he can hold it out and still go to Liverpool or whatever. If he moved, he'd be taking a risk and potentially not starting. Are you telling me that he'd go straight into that Liverpool starting lineup next week and nudge out some of them big all-time stars there immediately? I think that there would be a bit of a tussle for the starting lineup, you know, in terms of rotation and all the other bits and pieces. So I think for him, that's a good thing. I think for Palace, he loves the club. He does love the club, right? He said he does love the club and he's got a vested interest in the club. No one loves the club too much to move and take money and all the other bits and pieces, but he's got a group of players he enjoys working with and enjoys being there, which is why he hasn't done an Isak and pushed for a move, right? So I genuinely don't believe that there was any kind of, I've got to move in this window, because Gehi knew as much as anybody else. He wanted to make the right move. And he knows that if someone's willing to pay 35 million quid for him, a big chunk of that money will go into his pocket if he's a free transfer next year, right? So there's that. And then from a Palace perspective, everyone's going, well, that's a financial disaster. You've lost £35 million. We turned down £70 million from Newcastle. Why? Back in the previous summer transfer window, he didn't want to go to Newcastle. Mm. The player didn't want to leave, right? So then now we've turned down £35 million. But yes, it's the depreciating value. But you look at it this way. If Brighton could spend £35 million winning the FA Cup and ending up in Europe and the Community Shield, would you spend £35 million on that, Neil?
Mate, what you're saying sounds sensible.
Would you spend £35 million winning two cups?
Yes, of course we would. Your chairman last week said we don't want to let him go for free.
Of course they didn't want to let him go.
We must make money on him, they said.
No. What he said was, if he doesn't sign a contract, we've got to look at the offers, because that is business sense, right? That's pretty much what we said.
Andy, this could have all been, this could have all been dealt with long before putting a deal sheet in at 5 p.m.
But do you know what?
For the managers, for Liverpool, no one's won in this. Everyone's not.
Yeah.
Everyone apart from the Crystal Palace manager has not got what they wanted. Apart from him, everybody else hasn't got what they wanted. Gehi wants to go to Liverpool. Liverpool want him. Now, look, don't get me wrong, Gehi will be fantastic. He'll stick to he's a brilliant professional and he'll be fine at Palace.
He will
be. I agree with you, absolutely.
But the media wanted him to move to the big club, which is why the narrative in the press is
the media.
How dare Palace stop him from progressing. It's like he's a Palace player under contract.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And he'll go next summer, I'm sure. But
yeah.
You can't say that everybody wins in this one.
I honestly think long term, Neil, they do.
Okay.
And him in a Palace shirt for another year is fine.
Okay.
I'm cool with that.
Fair enough. Look, we'll see what happens in the next few months. But
yeah. What about you, Neil? Do you believe that your transfer window was a success? Can you remember back long enough from when you signed anybody?
Do I think it was a success? It's a strange one. I mean, we started off strong. We got a lot of people in, as we know. I think what I would say about our window is that ultimately, we got, I think, 6 or 7 players in. We did the one thing that we needed to in the window, which was strengthen our defence. We did that well.
Yeah, you have.
We've got two good quality central defenders. We've got a left back. Yes, we lost a left back, but the way we play has always been like that anyway. We got a couple of players back from injury, which therefore we knew we didn't need to replace as well, which was good. And I think the ultimate issue for me, which I talked about last week, was the hole when it comes to a striker to the attacking side. We have bought young again. I'm not necessarily sure we have bought someone for now in any of those, in any of that attacking line that we picked up. You think about the two Greek lads, think about Tommy Watson, they're all developing. I think Tommy Watson's nearer the final product, but I think ultimately we've still a little bit of a hole in that sort of striker area. The biggest thing that hit me when when the window closed, when I looked at the overall numbers of it, is we had a huge bloated squad. We had so many players. We ended up with 28 players leaving the club in this window. 28 players leaving, whether that be permanent or on loan, young players, more mature players, first team, reserves, whatever.
That's not transfers, that's a clear out.
Exactly. 28 players, 12 on permanent leave. So they've gone. So Adingra, Lamptey, Estepinian, Pedro being the main ones, but you know, all the other players as well in that squad. 16 loans as well, mostly for experience, you would say. But there's two strange ones with Facundo and O'Reilly on the last day where, yeah, that just felt strange. And I think, you know, I asked you the question earlier about, is the squad stronger now?
Mm.
Or you asked it yourself, actually. Is the squad stronger now than it was beginning of last season? For Brighton, I don't think it's stronger now. I think it's different. And I mean that in the way that we have now upped the strength of the defence. I think we've got much more options in defence now.
Do you know what? That's the word I was going to use. If I was summing yours up, I'd say you've got more options.
Yeah, we've got more options now. So we're better skilled and better replaced in the defensive side of things. Midfield is fine. We've got, again, enough players in midfield. The attack looks a little light because we've bought very young and we're going to have to see. I've got no answer with the attack side of things because I just don't know how they're going to develop, whether it's going to be in a month or 2 months or 2 years, who knows. So I think overall I'd give it probably a B plus window, if you know what I mean. It was like, it's okay, it was good, we got some players in, we let some go. I think if I look at it from a point of view of us losing our best players, we've really only lost two what I would call first team, absolute first starters in João Pedro and Estepinian. And I think that's not a bad window. At the beginning
not
of the window.
No,
because at the beginning of the window, I was worried about Van Hecker, Mitoma. You know, the fact that we've closed the window and we've still got both of those, I think is a winner straight away. And I said that right at the beginning, didn't I? I said, if we can close the window and Karu Mitoma is still with us, that would have been a win. And so I'm very happy about that. Did you do any maths? Do you know how much you spent or anything from that perspective?
Well, Neil, controversially, I don't think anyone knows how much anybody spent, really, because it's all very much different on reports. But I do.
Brighton spent 69 million. They received 79 million. So that's about a £10 million profit in that sense. So, you know, obviously the big ticket items of Pedro, et cetera, bumps that right up. But we've only spent 70 million. I say only. Only 70 million.
Small change these days, though.
But it is. And I think that's an indicator of PSR as well. If you look at last season, we spent 193 million. That was our biggest ever, obviously. I think we were the second biggest behind Chelsea in spend last summer. So this summer, a little bit more sensible. Let's bring in other players and see where we get to. So overall, you know, it's clearly a summer of change in moving out the squad, the players that we don't think are quite right, and getting in younger players to develop. What about you?
Well, I think it's a bit of a weird one, this, because do you remember this Uche transfer situation where, is it a loan, is it a buy? And obviously, if Uche is a buy, we break even. Mm. If Uche is a loan, we've got a £16 million profit, if that makes sense. So we've spent 48 million, we received 64 million, and there's a £16 million profit, which is pretty much the cost of Uche, which for the life of me, I've got no idea why we took him on a loan before we bought him. Well, there's obviously some reason for that.
Yeah, it's his PSR, because it just won't count now. It'll be next summer that'll
count. But we don't need it to, though.
Well, maybe they already do.
Well, it's a very weird one, unless we're planning something massive in January.
Yeah, it's a strange. You don't know, do you? That's the problem.
We don't know, and I would imagine there would be some money spent in January, to be fair, from us.
And what would you give your window, then? Brighton's a B+. What would you give Palace?
Truthfully, I think Well, as I said, I think we did what we need to do. In that case, it's a C, isn't it? Mm. I think we it was underwhelming in the respect that there really was probably only one big star incoming, Jeremy. I think we could have backed our manager more in a season that we've done what we've done. But ultimately, it's Palace, and that would have been too simple, wouldn't it, Neil? So I think we've got away with it, mate. I think we've got away with it, and hopefully any more people don't get injured.